and see a church that gets around and talks to each other and enjoys being around each other. Not everybody just sitting in their seat waiting for a service to start, but people want to talk to each other and be a blessing to each other, and it's just awesome to see. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm just so thankful to be saved. I'll tell you, I'm thankful to be in church. There's no better place to be. I'll tell you, last night I had a kind of an odd night. I think I was just to the point of exhaustion, and I just wasn't feeling great. I was laying in bed and laying there, my wife's on one side, my dog's on the other side of me, and I just couldn't help thinking how blessed I am. I had such a great time of prayer. It's like I could not go to sleep for some reason. I probably didn't go to bed till 1 or 2 o'clock this morning, but I was just laying there praying. And God just kept laying everything on my heart that how blessed I am. I'm saved. I have the Word of God. I've got a great church. I've got a great wife. You know, he just takes care of all my needs. And I was just thinking of all the things he does for me, but then I was thinking about all the things he kept me from. How much of a blessing that is. I could be anywhere right now. And if anybody knows me and knows my past, I could be somewhere I don't belong right now. I'm so thankful. I was telling actually Pastor last night, I'm just so thankful that during any time that I tried to stray or wanted to stray from God, that God was such a loving God that he wanted to smack me right upside my head. And he never let me go. He never gave up on me. He loved me. He drew me back to him. And here I am standing in church watching people love on each other. And I could really be anywhere right now. And I'm so thankful that God has me right here where he wants me. You know, we were listening to a song on the way to church, talking about being blessed. And living for Jesus, I have no regrets. I have a lot of regrets. I have a lot. I can tell you, I've never regretted one moment living for Jesus. And walking with him and knowing that I'm in his will, never regretted a second of that. Every regret I have is because of me and my own flesh and my own stupidity. But I'm thankful that God loved me enough to not let me stay that way. Just feeling so blessed this morning. So happy to be in church. It's good to see you all. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm going to ask you, if you're able, to please stand with me and turn to page 155. We're going to sing At Calvary, page 155.
Years I spent in vanity and pride. Knowing not it was for me.
Philippians, made himself of no reputation, went to that cross for us. So thankful for Calvary. Brother Lance, would you be willing to open us up with a word of prayer?
Father, we thank you for a chance to come together, a chance to gather around your Son. We ask that you open our hearts this day, help us to come to a better knowledge of Him and to fall deeply in love with Him. Thank you for the good teaching this morning, Sunday school. We bless. We ask that you bless the preacher, give him words to say, and encourage our hearts and tell us more about Jesus. We thank you in His name.
Amen. If you would turn over with me to page 37, we're going to sing The Great Physician. I think it's fitting. A lot of people this time of year battling some sicknesses, and we can rely on our great physician. This is the first time I'm singing this song, so if you can't, help me out if you know it. If not, be patient. I'm learning it with you, but I'm excited to sing it. Page 37, The Great Physician.
This morning, good to be saved, good to have a Savior, in the blessed name of Jesus, amen. The only announcements that I have is next week, Lord willing, missionary brother Brian McDonald will be with us. He's a missionary to the Jewish people. He does a lot of work, I think, up in the upstate of Pennsylvania, in New York and New Jersey area, in synagogues and meeting with rabbis, and so he'll be with us next Sunday morning. Him, I think his wife's coming with him, but they'll be with us next Sunday morning for the main service. So please keep that in prayer and just pray as we go forward in the services here this morning.
All right, for our final song, we're going to turn to page 175. I ask that you please stand if you're able. I just want to make a quick mention, too. Chris Mitchell has a few things back there on the table if anybody's interested in some things. He's low, low price of $59.95 of each item. I'm kidding. We're always trying to raise money, you know what I mean? Now, he has a few items back there if you're interested to take a look, see if you would like anything. We're going to sing this, page 175. There is a fountain. We're going to sing it a cappella. Really take a chance to read these words while you're singing them. This song here, to me, it is almost a sermon for me, for sure. Lord, I just...
We're not playing this morning.
All right, we're going to sing this a cappella. Let this song speak to your heart. Let it prepare your heart for the preaching. Page 175, There Is a Fountain.
There is a fountain. Lose all their guilty stains.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that each and every one of us got here safely this morning to be in church, to be around your people, most importantly, to be around your word. Lord, and as much as it's nice to fellowship and it's nice to talk with our friends and family here at this church, Lord, what's most important is that we hear from you. What's most important is that the Holy Spirit is in attendance in this service, leading and guiding the preaching of the word. Lord, I pray that the singing that we did here this morning had prepared our hearts, has opened our hearts to be tender to the word that's coming here now, Lord. We are here for the truth. Lord, your truth is found in your word. We need you to fill our pastor with your power, with your spirit, to preach the word through him, Lord. Hide him behind the cross. Take him out of the equation, Lord, and use the man you've chosen to pastor this church to preach your word. Help us, Lord, to be here and be ready to learn something from you. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a novel. This is your word. The God in heaven, the one and only true God, is trying to give us a word here this morning, Lord, and we need to hear it. Lord, but we pray if there be anything that wants to hinder this service, Lord, please, Lord, deal with it, Lord. We need no distractions, Lord, but we need you. We need our Heavenly Father to speak to our hearts, to renew our minds, to give us something that's going to help change our lives. It's going to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. It's going to help us witness to others. It's going to help us better love the brethren. It's going to help us better love the pastor. It's going to better help us love this church. It's going to better help us love our neighbors. Lord, we are sinners. Without you, we're nothing, Lord. We need you this morning. We just ask, Lord, please, Lord, let your power be on this message. Speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be anybody here today that does not know that you are their Savior, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and shed his blood for them, and they've never put their trust in Christ, Lord, I pray that you'd work on their hearts here this morning and that they would place their trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If there be someone here that is saved, Lord, and has something to deal with, I pray that you deal with them this morning. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Every one of us here has had moments where we need you to chastise us, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you do that. Lord, we're so thankful that you love us enough to correct us. Lord, we give you this service, and we trust that you will move in it, Lord, and we'll praise you for what you'll do here this morning. We thank you for it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles and you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, I'd ask if you're able to stand again, take your Bible, look at Revelation, the book of Revelation, and chapter number 21. Revelation chapter 21, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 21 in verse number 5. We're going to read down to verse number 8. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 8 this morning. Something the Lord laid on my heart this week, some things that come across my path that is kind of concerning in a sense. And I think you'll understand when we get into this morning. But look at Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 5. And behold, he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse number 8 this morning. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace, dear God. I thank you for your love. And Lord, I ask, Lord, again, Lord, I don't know how to go out and come in, dear God. I don't know up from down. Lord, I pray you clear my mind. I pray you clear my thoughts, dear God. Lord, that you would have done this morning exactly what you would want done. Lord, no more, no less. Dear God, help us, as it says here, even in Revelation, Lord, have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, Lord. God, help us to be able to hear, help us to be able to see. Lord, help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 21 here in verse number 8. Very interesting verse in the Bible. And it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. That's a pretty bad list. You know, that's a pretty bad list there. You got murderers, you got those that are abominable, you got whoremongers, you got sorcerers or witchcraft, you got idolaters. But then you also got fearful individuals, you got unbelieving individuals, and lastly, the Bible says, and all liars. All liars. You know, we're saved this morning, those that are saved. God requires, God desires for us to live holy lives. But one thing I know that the Lord puts the emphasis on, and I find it very interesting as we get into this, is that of all these things the Lord lists, at the very end he says liars. Liars. There's no such thing as a white lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. And to tell a lie to justify the ends doesn't work either. A lie is a lie. And so the Bible says here that all liars be thrust into the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And how easy it is today in our society to lie in all manners of ways. I don't trust the news media as far as you can throw them. I think they say most of the time lies, things that aren't true. I don't trust things that I can see, even pictures, because of materials now that you can use on a computer to edit or Photoshop images. You can't believe everything that you see. And usually if it looks too good to be true, usually it is. There's very few things in this life that I trust. Brethren, sometimes I don't even trust myself. You say, you preach, but you got the Spirit of God dwelling within you, yes, but I still got this filthy flesh that's on me right now. So I even have troubled times where I don't even trust myself in a sense. But we're going to look at this morning as we get ready to go in this new year, hopefully with the intention that we always have an honest and sincere heart in truth and are not liars. One of the greatest sins that can be committed in the Bible is lying. I said it already. Look at the list that it's associated with. In the eyes of the Lord, lying is a very... In the eyes of the Lord, when we lie or we say something that's not the truth, it's not something that just God says, okay, we can deal with this. In the eyes of God, lying is an abomination. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. Lying is just not something that is one of those nice sins, so to speak, if there is such a thing. Lying in the eyes of God is an abomination. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. Proverbs 6 and verse number 16. The Bible says here, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. You would think that the Lord would list in there, one of the top ones would be these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. You would think he would say adultery. I believe God hates adultery. You would think it might say fornication, sorcery, witchcraft. But God says the first thing he lists is a proud look. Those lifted up with pride. Those that are lifted up with pride, the Bible says, God says, these six things do I hate. Yes, seven are an abomination. And the next thing he says is a lying tongue. Then he goes on to say, in hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness. Here it is again, twice in a verse. A false witness that speaketh lies. twice in this verse of things that are listed as things that God hates, yea, rather are an abomination unto him, it's lying. Parents, if you have kids, teach your kids not to lie. You catch your kid in a lie, you whoop his tail. And you make sure they remember it. Because we got too many Christians today, I'm not even talking about the world, we got too many Christians today that lie to themselves. They lie to themselves and think that they know something that they don't know. And their self-deception, and we're going to get there this morning, we're going to look at Samson and how lying can lead to self-deception. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, tied right in, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These six things, yea, seven, are an abomination to God. A liar is this, in case nobody knows here this morning, a liar is this, a person who knowingly utters falsehoods, one who lies. Just as the Lord hates lying, so should we. May God help us in 2022 to be always honest with ourselves and others. The book of Psalms 119, verse 163 says, the psalmist says in those verses, he says, I hate and I abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 139 and verse number 23. Psalm 139 and verse number 23, David closes out here this psalm in verse 23, I believe ought to be a prayer on our heart. Psalm 139 and verse 23. The Bible says here, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. The Bible says in Proverbs that a fool trusts in his heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Search my heart, O God. Know me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. When you have a heart like that, there's less opportunities for you to be self-deceived and deluded. An honest heart. Take your Bible, look at Judges chapter 16. Book of Judges. Look here real quick this morning at Samson. This portion of scriptures can make you question some things. But as you look through it, I'm sure most people in here, you've heard of Samson, you read about Samson. Samson, in my opinion, turned his back on God and got confident in himself. Judges chapter 16, and look at verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with seven green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And when she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, he brake with the withs as a thread a toe is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. You know, one of the red flags of a good liar, I've talked about it in Sunday school hour. I believe the Lord always gives you little red flags that give you discernment in things to figure things out. And I think one of the red flags here with people that lie is they're overconfident. And hear what I'm saying this morning. Samson, and we're going to read through this whole case here, Samson is way overconfident in Samson. Samson, brethren, as you read about Samson, Samson is all about Samson. God gifted him, God gave him to be one of the judges of Israel. Samson did do some good works, but the majority of time, Samson cared nothing but for himself. It's all about me. Look, read the story of Samson. I want that woman. Go get me a wife down there. His attitudes and his ways were selfish. And that's one way of a liar, is they're selfish because it's all about them. A good Christian, a godly Christian, a Christian that's striving to live for the Lord will be like we read this morning in Philippians chapter 2, making himself of no reputation. You see, a Christian, a good Bible-believing, loving Jesus Christ Christian will make themselves like Jesus Christ made himself and will humble themselves and repent and make things right and stay low. Anybody that gets lifted up and says it all revolves around them, they're not doing what God says to do, and I got Bible on that. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. They'll be humble. Samson's not humble. Samson, you know what's the sad? Look at verse number six. Look at verse number six. Here you have a lost Philistine. Does somebody think she was a Philistine woman? You have a lost woman telling the truth, and you have the man of God lying. Look at verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth." She asked him, "What's the deal with your great strength?" And then she says to him this, "And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." She says, "Samson, I want to know where you get your great strength from so that we can bind you and afflict you." She's not hiding anything. Samson, he's overconfident. He's overconfident. Samson thinks, I got the Lord, I got this, I can handle this, and it's just going to be like every other time, it's going to work out the same way it's always worked out. My dear friend, it may not work out the same way it's always worked out for you. If you continue in your lying. It is a sad state in the Bible when a lost heathen woman like Delilah is telling the truth, and the man that God set up as judge of the nation of his chosen people, Israel, is a liar. He lied to her. He knew where his strength lied, and what did he say? If you get these green wisps, and you, and they've never been dried, and you tie them around me, I'll lose my strength. He's a liar. He's a liar. And he's a confident one at that. He's a confident one at that, my friend. He's a confident one at that. Samson. Listen, brethren, this message ain't going to be very long this morning. Samson gets three warnings that the enemy is attempting to take him out. Look at verse number 9. She calls out, she says to Samson, in the middle of the verse, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Look at verse number 12, middle of verse number 12, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Look down at verse number 14, middle of verse number 14, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got control of this, it'll never catch up with me, I got it, I can keep lying, I can keep lying, I can keep lying. Fourth time he lies, he's taken prisoner. He's taken prisoner. Samson gets three warnings, yet he heeds not any of them due to his own self-confidence. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you trusting in yourself or the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you honest before the Lord and what his word declares? The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 16, it says, "A wise man feareth. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Confident. Confident. Brethren, what does the Bible say? We ought to walk humbly with our Lord. Look here. What did the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 6. What was the first thing listed? A proud look. Look, brethren, you know what I'm talking about. You've been with people before. They're confident. And what you ain't never seen a confident person walk around like this. I'm going to tell you. Confident person, put that chest out a little bit. Put that head up. That's not of God. It's not of the Lord. It's not of God. Ecclesiastes 10, if you take your Bible, look there for a moment this morning. Keep your hand there in Judges, because we're going to come right back to it. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, and verse 12 through verse 14. Look at these verses with me if you'd like this morning. The book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and verses 12 through 14. Look what the Bible says here. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are what? Gracious. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. You can't reason with someone like that, brethren. Mischievous madness. You know what the word mischievous means? It means harmful. It means hurtful. It means injurious. It means making mischief of persons. It means inclined to do harm. It means noxious. Noxious. Poison. Brethren, I said it in Sunday school, I'll say it again here. If there's somebody who walks around and says something about the pastor, I want you to listen to me, all of you, everybody that's here. Anybody listen on live stream, if you come to church here, I want you to hear it right now. If anybody goes around this church and says something about me, you walk away from them and you come ask me. You say, I don't want to hear it, I'm going to go talk to the pastor. Someone says I can't be trusted, come ask me why. Well, I'm not scared, brother. I'm not scared. If I look, I'm telling you. You listen on a live stream, I'm telling you. If I can't be trusted, you come ask me why. If I'm unscriptural, come talk to me. And we'll sit down in my office. If you're a woman, my wife will come with me. And if you like some other women or some other men to be there, we'll bring them in and we'll talk about it. But do not go behind my back. Be a man or a woman about it.
Amen. Yes, preach.
2022 is going to be a little different. I'm deciding that I'm going to try to, as I said in the Sunday school hour, to live a joyful life in my Lord this year. And if others want to live in misery and in their own thoughts and their own ways and how they think things should be done and blah, 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 that's fine. Go ahead. I'm going to go on joyfully with my God. So I'm saying it out to the open for everybody that's here so there's nothing hidden underneath the carpet. I'm pulling the carpet up so you know that if anybody comes around and says you can't trust me, come talk to me because I'm just putting it out in the open. I'm trying to be a man about it. If I'm unscriptural, bring me some Bible and we'll talk. I don't say these things in arrogancy. I say them as a shepherd. I was reading about a shepherd this week some of the books I got on shepherding. And it talked about a good sheep that this shepherd had, a really good sheep. This is a true story. It was a real shepherd. Mr. Keller is his name. He's dead and gone now. He's a born-again believer. Wrote some excellent, fascinating books on sheep because that was his job down there in Australia. He even has some on sheepdogs. Very good material he has on sheep. And I was reading Mr. Keller's book on sheep. And he put this story in there this week as I was reading through it, and he said he had this one beautiful, the Bible says beautiful of a sheep, a female sheep. She was just beautiful. She put out good lambs. She had good wool. She had a good fleece. She produced everything that he needed from a good sheep. But the problem with this sheep was that She had a way of always wanting to escape and find ways around the boundaries that he had set up. This is a true story. This is a true story. And every boundary he set up, the sheep were in good pastures. They had grass to eat. They had water to drink. But she always wanted to find a way and through a fence or around and to get to other pastures. And so he would deal with her and he would deal with her and he'd try to bring her back in and keep her in the fold. But he started running into problems when she started teaching her young ones to do the same thing. And then it got to a point she started getting some of the others in the flock to do it. You know what eventually I had to do with her? He had to kill her. He had to take that sheep that had potential, but was leading other sheep astray and causing problems for other sheep in the flock. He had to take that knife and take her out from messing up the rest of the flock. Brethren, these are serious matters. They're serious matters. Serious matters. The Bible says here in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, a fool also is full of words. Brethren, look at these verses. Brethren, look at the Bible. Don't look at me. Don't hear what I'm saying. Read these verses for yourself. This is not Pastor Welton giving his opinion. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord says. The Bible says in verse 10, verse 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? A fool, you cannot talk to an individual. Now, I forgot to put one other thing in there. I've also been told that I can't be talked to. Okay? I'm putting everything out there, brethren. I'm putting it all out there. I've been said about me that I can't be talked to. There's sometimes I can't be talked to. That's true. Because if it goes against Scripture, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Yeah? Brethren, contrary whatever that saying is, to popular belief, a church is not a democracy. You understand, brethren? And you say you want to understand what I said? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. A church is not a democracy. A church is not a democracy. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 17. Again, I'm going to try to give you what the Bible says, brethren. Hebrews chapter 10 or Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'm here to submit to you this morning that you're not going to find nowhere in the New Testament where a church is said to have business meetings. It's not in the Scriptures. You're not going to find voting in the New Testament. But you will find this. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 17 says. Now, again, this ain't Pastor Welton saying it. It ain't Brother Chris saying it. It says in verse 17, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Has everybody got a King James Bible? Am I saying that the right way? Did I read it right? And I'm not, again, this is not being done in arrogancy or pride or lifting up. I'm just telling you, what does the Bible say? The Bible says there's a situation where I think it's the church and I think it's a pastor. And it says, obey them that have the what over you, rule over you. You find the same principle with a husband and a wife. Her husband is to rule over her, not be a dictator. And by God's grace, brethren, I don't ever want to be a dictator over this church. That's the last thing I want because it scares the fire out of me. And I'm going to tell you why I'm scared this morning. Because keep reading the verse. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Look what it says next. For they watch for your souls. Brethren, that is Bible. That is Bible. Brethren, don't ask me to figure it all out. I don't know how it all works. All I know is what the Bible says. And the Bible says when you join a church, when you come in and become one with a church, the Bible says you're to submit yourselves to whoever that pastor is. And you're to obey that man as long as he goes with the Scriptures. Not your opinion. Amen. Hey. Do you know if I went with everybody's opinion in here, I would have no more hair? Do you understand? Do you hear me? If I went with what everybody thought in here, I would have no hair left. Actually, I would have no mind left. See, brethren, this church, we can't go nowhere as Christians or a church as a body of Christ if it always revolves around us. You know the sign of a Christian maturity is let them have their way. We'll just do it their way. Go ahead. That's fine. And backs off to the background. It'll be just fine. We'll let them. My opinion don't matter. I'll just go ahead. That's a sign of a true Christian. Well, I'll tell you what. You got to hear what I got to say. That's a rebel. That ain't the spirit of Christ. You ain't hearing. You ain't gonna find one time in the gospel accounts Jesus like, you better listen here what I got to say. Brethren, Bible, 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 scriptures. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. You know what my job as a pastor is? To watch for your soul. Anybody else want to get up and be a pastor? I'll be more than happy just to sit here. Believe me, you. I'd be more than happy just to sit here, go home with my wife, give me a little lunch, take a nap, come back and hear preaching again. Anybody else want a pastor? Preach. Brethren, again, this ain't an arrogancy. I lose sleep at night. Why? Because this next part right here, look what it says next. Look what it says next. As they that must give account. You know the only person that's going to account for this church over the last 46 years or 45 is Gary Freeman and me. Right. Yeah. Gary Freeman and now Chris Welton is going to have to give an account of how Ray Street Baptist Church went these 45 years going on, 46, going on 46 years. Not nobody else. Not Paul Freeman, unless he was a pastor at some point. I don't know nothing. Not anybody else that's ever been here, has ever been a member here, has ever come across the paths here. Nobody else is going to give an account for this church other than Gary Freeman and right now, Chris Welton. Think about that for a moment. Think about that long and hard, lest you be lifted up with pride. That scares me. And I'm going to apologize, because I apologized on Friday night, and I apologize this morning in Sunday school, and I'm going to apologize right now for anybody that was here last week. I apologize for making the comment that I made that there's not the day goes by that I don't think about leaving and going somewhere else. I didn't say that to make anybody feel bad, like I don't love you as an individual person. I said it because sometimes the weight of being a pastor, I just want to run from it. It has nothing to do with 99.99% of the people that are here. Most, almost everybody here has shown nothing but love and encouragement and letters and notes and pastor, we're praying for you, we're there for you, meals and cookies and brethren, even what was done Friday night. Thank you, women, for your cooking. Thank you for the cookies. Listen, it was not me saying it because I don't want to be with you, but sometimes the office, I want to run from it. Why? Because I got to give an account. And half the time as being a pastor, I don't even know what I'm doing. That makes me even more scared. You understand? I say, God, help me, Lord. God, when I pray, I don't know how to go out and come in. That's just not words to pray in a prayer. I really mean that. By God's grace, brethren, I'm going to try to be a man. And if you don't like me being a man, then maybe you ought to look for some other place. But I'm going to try, by God's grace, to be God's man for this church. And the sad thing in our society today, we have very few men. Most are effeminate. Most are go off of what other people say, what their wife says. They don't stand up and be. I'm not talking about being a dictator. I'm talking about being a godly man. If you think I just want to lord myself over you, again, you have no clue what you don't understand. I'm not trying to lord myself over you. Because the Bible talks about that as well. Feed the flock of God which is among you, and don't lord yourself over God's heritage. You are God's heritage, and God forbid I ever lord myself over you. But I will try to give you Bible. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Because they got to give an account and they watch for your soul. I can watch for my own soul. Okay, rebel. Okay, go ahead. Just like the sheep out there in the pasture, take a shepherd away from them a couple days and they're all going to die. Sheep need a shepherd. And you know what happened here in 4 years? I'm kind of looking back at 4 years of Ray Street Baptist Church. You had a lot of good men preaching to you, but you didn't have a pastor. And there's a difference between preaching and pastoring. You see, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me. And we're all stuck together in the boat. Look, my wife's, I thank the Lord for my precious wife. I don't know how many times she said to me through the years, she said, stop hitting the oar. Stop hitting me with the oar. We're in the same boat. Brother, we're in the same boat. Stop hitting each other with the oar. Put it in the water and start paddling. Look, up here, up in the Northeast, you got these road teams at some of these colleges. And they get out there on some of those rivers. I don't know how many of them sit in one of those boats. I don't know how many sit in there. But it's one of the most beautiful things you can see when they're all synchronized. And it's almost like they're just gliding right across that water. That's the way I want Ray Street Baptist Church to be here in the Lehigh Valley. But one person's got that oar in the water and just holding it down. The rest are paddling. Yeah, we're still going forward, but there's a lot more strength and exertion that has to be put into it. It may just be a point to where Jonah's got to get tossed out of the boat. Brethren, liars are prone to fall asleep upon the lap of apathy, coldness, and self-deception. Look back at Judges real quick. Look at Judges chapter 16 and verse number 19. I'll say it again. Liars. Samson lied three times when she asked him, What was the source of his strength? And he lied to her, and he told her all these different stories about if you did this or if you do that, my strength will be gone. He lies to her three times. But then in verse number 17, he tells her all his heart. Samson gets confident with himself. He gets tired of her nagging him. He gets tired of her constantly asking him. She's telling him, I want to know so I can destroy you. And eventually he just opens up his heart and he tells her exactly what needs to be done for him to lose his strength. Verse number 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. You see, liars are prone to fall asleep upon the lap of apathy, coldness, and self-deception. Samson finally tells the truth, brethren. Samson finally tells the truth, yet has fallen asleep spiritually due to his apathy and coldness to the ways of the Lord. This leads him to delusion and self-deception, and ultimately we're going to see his self-destruction. Samson finally gets to a point he tells the truth, but it's too late. He's already fallen asleep. Brethren, I don't understand how a man, he had a lot of hair, but the Bible says he laid down on that lap there of Delilah, and she started playing with his hair. And she started slowly putting him to sleep. You see, that's the devil right there, brethren. That's what the devil does to his brethren. Brethren, don't let the devil slowly start putting you to sleep thinking, yeah, it's all about you. Yeah, he's so mean. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't care about you. Yeah, he doesn't love you. And you fall asleep in deception. And before you know it, your strength's gone and you're in self-destruction. Do you hear this morning, brethren? It's the way the devil to come up behind you and say, yeah, that's right. You have a right. Yeah, you keep telling him. Yeah, you can. He pat you. Yeah, that's right. You go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you tell him. That's the devil doing that to you. And you fall asleep upon the lap of the devil. He was so fast asleep, brethren. Look what the Bible says in verse 19. And she made him asleep, or she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him, brethren, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and he began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Brethren, he was so far asleep, He was so far into deception, he doesn't even realize that not only is he getting a haircut, she's shaving his head. Brethren, how asleep are you to where you don't even wake up when someone's cutting your hair? Much less shaving. But Samson was confident in verse number 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Number 4. And he awoke out of his sleep. And he said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson wakes up out of his sleep. He gets up. The Bible says he shakes himself. He realizes what's going on. And he didn't even realize God's gone. That's fearful, brethren. I would have thought if Samson woke up from that sleep, the first thing that would have hit him was, "My head's kind of cold right now." He didn't even realize the coldness that it took place on his very own body. Brethren, I get short haircuts. And sometimes when my hair grows out and then I go in and when I get a haircut and they shave and I walk about, especially being up here in Pennsylvania now, I immediately know that I got a haircut and I never had a lot of hair in the first place. But it immediately hits me and I get my little beanie cap and put it on because I'm cold. I can't imagine someone that had enough hair to where you could weave 7 locks or however they did it on his head, and now he ain't got no hair up there at all, and he wakes up and he shakes himself off and he doesn't realize he just got a haircut. Brethren, why would a man get to this point? Why would what was supposed to be a godly man, why would a man or godly man tell a woman who has already shown her evil motives for his destruction and captivity and the secret of his strength? Brethren, there's no other reason than being self-deceived and overly self-confident. The Bible says in Job 41, verses 24 and 34, it talks about Leviathan, which is a picture of the devil. And it says, "His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. He beholdeth all high things, and he is a king over all the children of pride." Revelation 3:17 says this, you all know this. It says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." As I close up this morning, the Lord is looking for those who are willing to be honest and truthful. It is with these individuals that the Lord will walk and help grow closer to himself. The last verses I want you to see is, take your Bible and look at Psalm 15, verse 1. Psalm chapter 15 and verse number 1. Psalm 15, verse number 1. Psalm 15, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here, David again speaking. Psalm chapter 15, verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." You know someone that has a heart towards God, what they'll do? If they see somebody that has an issue or is in sin or has a problem in their life, you know what a true Bible-believing Christian would do? Number one, they'd feel sorrow for him. Number 2, they'd get broken over him. And number 3, they'd try to pray about him. they wouldn't go behind our back talking about them. Zechariah 8:16 and 17 says this: "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." God hates when people go behind other people's backs and talk about them. You understand this morning? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Colossians 3, 8, and 9 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And lastly, John 8, 42 says this: "Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me." Think about that one for a second. If God were your Father, you'd love me. 1 John, brethren, read 1 John. 1 John is all about loving your brother. And Jesus says here, if God were your Father, you'd love me. "For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" Jesus says, why can't you hear me? Why can't you understand my speech? "Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." You know, the truth will make you free, Jesus says early on in that chapter. So as we go into 2022, as I close up this sermon here this morning, as we head into 2022 on the second day of January as Ray Street Baptist Church, I'm going to try my best to be truthful with you all and put everything out there that needs to go out there in the light. So again, as I close this morning, as we get ready to go forward, if God should tarry and allow us to live into 2022, as we start this month and start this new year, I'm going to put it all out there. Again, if anybody comes to you and says, "You can't trust the pastor," please come talk to me. If anybody comes up to you and says, "I'm unscriptural," please come up and talk to me. I won't bite, I promise you, and I will try to listen. And if anybody says anything else, come talk to me, and I'll try my best to listen. But brethren, I'm going to try to do all I can, like I said in the month, a couple weeks past, I'm going to try to do everything I can to cut off discord among the brethren. Do you understand? Because I love you. You may not believe it, but I do. I try to pray for everybody here. Try to bring you before the throne of God, that God would help each and every one of us to grow closer to him and love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. I pray you'd help us all, Lord, as we go into this year, dear God. And Lord, I put myself at the front of the line, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to not lie. Lord, some may think, well, Christian will never lie. Lord, you know us, dear God. Lord, you know us. God, help us to not lie. Help us not to lie to others. Help us not to lie to ourselves. And help us, Lord, not to lie to you. God, help us, as David said there in Psalm 139, Lord, help us, as David say, and help us to have the heart of, Lord, search us, Lord, try us, Lord. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. And Lord, help us, if you do reveal something to us, Lord, help us to bring it to the light and make it right, dear God, so that we can start going forward for your glory and your honor. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love one another. Help us to be there for one another. Help us to strengthen one another. Lord, as I said in the Sunday school hour, dear God, there may be people in this church we don't like, but help us to love them. Lord, we're not always going to get along with everybody, dear God, and that's the way you set it up, Lord. You gave us personalities, and there's nothing wrong with that, dear God. We might not always agree with anybody. We might not even really like some people, but Lord, help us to always have a spirit of love towards them. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, that you would be magnified in all that is said and done at Ray Street Baptist Church in 2022. Lord, we love you. Give us safe trips back home. Lord, watch over our vehicles. Lord, help us to be alert around other drivers. And dear God, if it be your will, you bring us back again safely tonight. And we'll love you for it, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Dismissed. And Lord willing, see you tonight. Amen.